Right now, it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur joins us, of course, every Monday morning. Snowstorms or nor'easter, don't stop Arthur as he joins us this morning. Good morning, Arthur.
Well, I don't leave the house, so I'm happy when there's a storm. Because that's an extra excuse not to leave. I mean, I can't say, well, I'm not going out. It's so nice out, but I'm going to get COVID if I do. No, I get to stay in. I have a beautiful view. I face a park, so it's gorgeous. I'm facing a gorgeous building that, when it's rimmed with snow, looks even better. So I'm happy. The only problem is, what are you going to eat? I didn't really prepare for the storm, even though I thought I had. But as Bob pointed out midday yesterday, we're out of fruit.
Oh, no.
You know, we count on fruit. I'm a fruitaholic. And even on this keto diet, I've been eating fruit, even though you're not supposed to eat too much fruit. I don't eat too much fruit. I'm now into mandarins or clementines.
Oh, you wanna... I love mandarin. Oh.
Only 8 grams of carb per mandarin or clementine. They're pretty cheap right now, too. $7 for a big bag, like a 3-pound bag. And so no fruit. But, you know, I wrote a book called What to Cook When You Think There's Nothing in the House to Eat. And today is, of course, one of those days where you want to go look in your refrigerator and pantry and see what you can rustle up. So this book has 52 ingredients that you can store for a while, mostly for a long while. I wrote this book when I was living in Cornwall, and of course, as you well know, there was no supermarket in Cornwall, so it was I had to go over Sharon Mountain to get to the supermarket, and I wasn't going to do that all the time. So I would bring groceries up with me, but at one point I said, you know what, I am not going to bring groceries up with me, I'm just going to try to cook from whatever I have in my pantry and refrigerator from last week. And that's how I happened to come up with this book. It was originally called Emergency Meals, but the publisher thought it sounded too much like 911. So we used the subtitle as the title, What to Cook. Actually, in big letters on the cover is What to Cook. This book has a little interesting history because it was published in, let me see what year it was published in. It was published in, 90 whatever, maybe it was even 80 some. The copy that I have in front of me was published in 2000, but that's the interesting story. One of my nemesis in life became the publisher at HarperCollins, and almost the first thing she did when she got the job was take my book out of print. So she canceled the book. And a few years later, they discovered they really wanted this book, so they had to pay me again to republish the book. So that's the 2000 copyright version is the second version of the book. It's not a different version, it's just a republication. Anyway, among those 52 ingredients are a few things that I can't eat. There's a lot of beans, pasta, you know, those stay on your shelf for quite a long time. I always used to say spaghetti lasts longer than most marriages, which is probably true, as most marriages don't last very long, and spaghetti can be years. You may have to cook it a little longer. Oh, by the way, the snow just changed here to absolutely enormous snowflakes.
Yeah.
Absolutely enormous snowflakes. We already have 3 or 4 inches. You're saying this is just the beginning?
Now you for the next 10 hours is when you're going to get off and on the heaviest snow. And seeing as it's reached you just now, what's interesting about this is that we can expect that now to come up here in about, and Pat said somewhere about 10 o'clock here is when we would get to. So you have given us the forewarning that, yes, it is on the way. What we're getting now is just the opening act.
Well, we got the opening act yesterday afternoon, around 5-6 o'clock, and that was nothing.
Yeah.
And then it stopped, and then I woke up at 3:30 because I heard the plow come down my street. It sort of woke me up. So they plowed my street at 3:30 in the morning. I went to look out the window, and yeah, sure enough, there was at least 4 inches at 3:30 in the morning. I don't know how much there is now, but everything is covered here. I can look at the, there's a staircase that I can see from my kitchen window, one of the backyards here, and there's about 4 inches. But it's hard to tell how many inches because the wind is, the snow was coming down sideways earlier. It was so windy that, you know, there's a real blizzard. There are really going to be banks of snow. In fact, sometime in the middle of the night, I must have been pounding against my kitchen windows because they're full of frost and snow now. But back to celery.
That's right.
I always find this celery in the house. I use celery, to season a lot of different things, including broth, which I always have in the freezer. Fortunately, on this blizzard day, I do have 2 quarts of beautiful beef broth in the freezer, which I'm going to defrost today. But celery has become one of my favorite vegetables. In the book, What to Cook, there's a really good recipe for what I call wilted celery soup. Because the fact is, celery doesn't last nearly as long as, for instance, carrots and onions, which are the other two vegetables you should always have on hand. But before it turns yellow, celery will wilt and look sort of, you know, sad and bendable. And this soup is meant for that celery. And the only thing in here that I'm not supposed to be eating is rice. But I looked it up this morning, and actually 1/3 of a cup of white rice, which is what this calls for, is not all that much if I consider how many portions this makes. If I can get a bowl of soup with only 20 grams of carb, I'm okay. So this soup is so easy. You just saute like 3 cups of diced celery. It doesn't have to be small dice either. You can cut it any which way you like. 3 cups. Saute, but melt 2 tablespoons of butter. Put the celery in the pot with a cup of finely chopped onion. That's a medium onion. Cover the pot. So saute would be uncovered and dry, but in this case, we're going to do what the chefs like to call sweat. We're going to sweat the celery and onion together over medium-low heat, covered, as I said, for about 10, even 15 minutes. You don't want it to brown or anything. You just want it to get wilty. And it will, because all the moisture, celery is mostly water. So, and by the way, this soup I make with water, because celery does have a delicate flavor, and you don't need broth. If you put broth in, it's good. It's very good. But it does dampen. It does deaden. Does diminish. That's the word I want to use. It does diminish the fresh celery taste. But water is good. So for the 3 cups of celery and 2 tablespoons of butter and an onion, I put in about 3.5 cups of water after the vegetables have sweated about 10 minutes, a 1/2 teaspoon of salt, or maybe a little bit more to taste. You'll taste it once it comes to a boil. And bring it to a boil, and now you can add your rice. 1/3 of a cup of rice should be about enough to make give it a little starch and a little substance and body. And then, at the very final, you stir in grated Parmesan cheese, which is really what makes it. Because, you know, that word umami, which is a Japanese word meaning some kind of fifth taste, meaning a deep, I don't know, in Yiddish I always say tom, but it's the deep taste. And you need that here, and Parmesan cheese adds it. You can also add some herbs, but on the other hand, you could just save some celery leaves and chop them up and use that as your herb. It's a very good soup, especially on a day like today when you really need something warming. But that's not what I'm going to cook with my celery. I have a particularly good bunch of celery. They didn't have any ordinary celery at my market the other day, but they did have these really green, juicy-looking celery, organic celery. It was expensive, but it really looked great, so I bought it, and it is great. So I'm going to use that today to make braised celery. I do have a chicken. I did think far ahead enough to blizzard time to buy myself a chicken, and I'll roast the chicken, and half the chicken will eat as with great pleasure the legs and thighs and wings, and then the breasts tomorrow I'll do something else with. I'm not sure exactly what yet. Last week when I did this, we ate the breasts sliced cold with grabiche. You know, I've been talking about sauce grabiche. We're really into this now that we're on this keto diet. It's totally all this mayonnaise and oil-rich sauces are very, very allowable. In fact, they're required. So to make braised celery, I cut the celery on a very severe bias. So I get long half-inch slices of celery. It's just for pretty. If you want to make it chunky, you can do chunky. You put those in a skillet. You don't want to pile it up in the skillet. You want a big enough skillet so that the celery really is in more or less one layer. And as much celery or as little celery as you want. And so the pan depends. And saute this time, uncovered, saute the celery in about, well, I don't know, if I'm using 3 cups of celery, again, 2 tablespoons of butter, and just saute it for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 minutes, toss it around in the hot butter. And then add just enough broth, not water. I really want broth in this case, either chicken broth or beef broth, whichever you have, or if you don't have it in a can, you can do that too. Just enough to cover the celery about halfway. Not altogether, bury the celery in liquid. And then you simmer it, uncovered, first covered for about 15 minutes. By that time, the celery should be more or less tender. You take the cover off, and you cook down the liquid until it just glazes the celery. It is delicious. I know it sounds, I mean, how could celery be delicious? But it is.
Oh, no, I love that. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and, you know, there are no calories in celery to speak of, but they are high in fiber. So that's, when you're on the keto diet, fiber is a good thing.
You know, years ago you mentioned this about the celery soup and everything, and I started doing that with the celery, and it's really good.
It is really good, and it's so simple, except the rice. You know, right now I'm limiting. But, I've learned that I can tolerate some carbohydrates. I'm now down 41 pounds, and I have been eating, for instance, I had cereal. I was my first cereal in 5 months, but I did have cereal for breakfast the other day. It didn't seem to ruin the diet. I've eaten some other, I now treat myself to an egg roll once in a while. That's, you know, I consider it a vegetable, but really the skin is all carbs and fat, but the fat's good. Anyway, we have a chicken. So I've been roasting chickens. And today I bought myself a little jar of Thai curry paste. And I saw Ree Drummond. You ever watch Ree Drummond, the pioneer woman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like her food mostly. And she made this... she took the Thai curry paste that you buy in a bottle in the supermarket, in a jar, a little jar, and she rubbed it all. She tossed some string beans and carrots with it, and then with adding a little oil to the curry paste so that it would distribute more evenly, and then she brushed her chicken with it, put it all on the sheet pan, and roasted it 450 degrees for half an hour. This was chicken drumsticks. So I'm going to do this today, but not with, I don't have any string beans. I do have carrots, but carrots are very high in carbs. I'm not sure if I'm going to do this. I'm going to roast some carrots, too, but I probably will. But a Thai friend of mine said, you know, I don't really love that curry paste that comes in the jar. So what I do is I doctor it with some grated ginger and garlic, and I add garlic, as well as some extra little bit of oil. And that's really good, she says. Really, the ginger and garlic additions make it almost taste like homemade. I always say, who's home? But you know, my Thai friend is a very good cook, so I trust her on this. And I'm not going to add the sugar that Ree Drummond also added. I think I can live without that. But I'm going to rub that all over my... spatchcocked chicken. Oh, by the way, so I mentioned spatchcocking last week. Got some feedback on that, too. But I did not know where the word came from. And I mentioned that on air. I said, you know, man, I better do a little research and find out where this word comes from. It ends up nobody knows where the word came from. But one speculation, and it sounds sort of logical, it comes from, it's a shortening of dispatching the cock. Now, cock is chicken.
Yep.
Dispatching the cock, so spatch cock. I thought the cock part must have referred to the French, coq, C-O-Q. But in this case, it's like Old English, or Irish. One source said that that this word started in Ireland. I was tempted to call my Irish friend this morning, but she's in Rome, and I couldn't call her anyway, and ask her, but she's not a food person, so she may be unaware of this altogether, I realized. Anyway, that's where the word spatchcock comes from. It really doesn't mean anything but butterflied. You take out the backbone, you flatten the chicken, and you roast it like that, and I find it's way easier and even better than roasting a whole chicken, basting it, turning it, all that stuff. So, and I do that at 450 degrees, and my three and a half pound chickens take anywhere from, I would say, you know what, 45 minutes, a whole chicken, 450 degrees, 45 minutes. I like to put it at the top of the oven so that it gets browner. And my basic is just salt, pepper, and a brushing of olive oil. One of my friends who listens to this as a podcast called me to tell me he does butter. butter will brown, but it also will burn. So actually, next time I do it, I think I may try just brushing with butter for the last 15 minutes and see if that makes any, you know, browning difference or flavor difference.
I can't believe you're bringing this up, because what did I make last night for me to bring in today? I had a 3.5 pound chicken. I put salt, pepper, and garlic, and I put it on the rotisserie exactly like you said at that temperature. 45 minutes later, came out perfect. I sliced it up after it cooled down, and it's perfect for one person to have over the course of a couple of days.
Well, for us, it's 1 3.5 pound chicken is two meals for the two of us.
Yeah,
it's a bargain. I bought these really expensive chickens. It was $13 for a 3.5 pound chicken. Which, you know, I guess it's not that expensive, but anyway. But the fact that it was two meals for two people, I think, yeah, it was like $3 a portion. If you think about it that way, which I do. But let me ask you, what kind of rotisserie do you have?
It's an old rotisserie that I got, and you know what? It keeps on. That's all it does. And it's, remember that guy that used to pitch these things?
Propeel.
Yeah. Well, but it works perfectly, and you know what? It rotisseries chicken meat, but a perfect, you know, and 45 minutes and it's done. You let it sit, and then
Let it sit a little bit.
Yeah.
I must say that I really would love to have a rotisserie, but I'm not sure where I would put it. This is my big problem. I hate giving up counter space.
And that this thing is old and it's huge. And so, yes, I have.
Is it a roto broil?
No, it's a popiel.
It's a popiel, right?
You know, set it and forget it. But you only bring it out when you're going to use it, because it takes up. It's like a car.
Yeah, but you live in a house, and I'm sure you have storage space.
Anyway.
My housekeeper the other day complimented me on how I have rearranged one of the closets in the hall here to cram in a lot of kitchen stuff that I had no room for elsewhere. But I must say, during COVID, I've cleaned all the closets. Last week, I went through boxes of old paper and photographs, and organized all of that. And I'm almost totally organized. I mean, by the time the pandemic is over, I'm going to have the most organized house on the block. And in my closets was a lot of stuff that I could get rid of, which, of course, you never do want to get rid of it, but I decided it was time. You know, if I haven't worn it in 5 years, it's time.
Okay.
So anyway, and I do have the next size down. People say, oh, time to buy new clothes. No. I always hoped I would get down again, so I have saved my clothes from my last weight, which was significantly less. And the only thing is, a lot of these things have gone out of style. And then I also tried on some stuff that was too big. That was delightful.
Well, that's, you know, it's funny you mentioned this because I, since I've lost right around 70 pounds, 77
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah, you're doing great.
I actually got into a pair of 46 jeans that.
Oh.
Yeah. And I mean, they're still a little tight, but not that. But really, I mean, it's going great. But it's funny, everything you're talking about this morning really rings home to me.
Well, the bad thing about the keto diet, by the way, I've gotten some feedback from listeners about this diet. There are other people out there doing it also. We have one listener, Stephanie, who mentioned in passing that she makes panna cotta. So I love panna cotta, and it's totally allowable except for the sugar. So I said, because panna cotta is nothing but a gelatinized cream, sweetened and flavored. You can flavor it any which way, but you need sweetener. So I asked her, and she wrote back, and she says, yes, but I don't like, she says, I don't like the taste of most artificial sweeteners, so I use something called erythritol. Is that what it is? Something like that. It's in fact, the sweetener in these sugar-free candies that I eat, it's an alcohol of erythritol, and it does not have a bad taste. It has a few carbs, but very, very few. And she uses that, but I don't know. I have to find out where I can buy this stuff. I guess it comes in a liquid, and you put it in your cream with your whatever flavoring, if any. Like you could sort of just steep a vanilla bean in the cream, in hot cream. You could add a little vanilla. The first time I ever made panna cotta, many, many, many years ago, I made it according to a recipe from an Italian friend, and what she used was lemon geranium. So if any of you, or you could use a flavored mint, like pineapple mint. You don't have to eat the pineapple, you just have the pineapple mint. And if you steep any herb, in the hot cream and then strain out the herb and add your gelatin, you're going to have a nicely flavored panna cotta. I do have a lot of cream in the house, and I'm definitely considering doing that, except the only artificial sweetener I have is Sweet and Low, and I'm not sure I would want that in my cream.
Yeesh.
Yeah, I do make lemonade with it, but lemons overpower the Sweet and Low, so I don't mind it. Anyway, that's, you know, we were fruitless today, and I see that we're never going to get a delivery of anything. Certainly, we have a fruit man, a cart on the corner here, but he's not going to be there today.
Yeah.
And anyway, I don't like to buy fruit from him because I call it last day of sale fruit, meaning if you don't eat it immediately, it's going to rot. And so the only thing we ever buy from him are bananas, because at least he has ripe bananas.
Now, are oranges allowed for you?
So I'm eating mandarins. They're small. It's 8 grams. I don't want to tempt myself with a huge orange that's going to be 15 grams.
Because
I definitely stay under 50 grams of carbohydrate a day, but I try to stay at about 20, which is, you know, very, very low.
Because Jill got me a real nice orange press, you know, and I make myself a cup of orange juice every day. If it takes four,
yeah,
four.
that's a total no-no.
Yeah,
well, I'm sorry. Even when I wasn't on this diet, I didn't drink juice because juice is sugar without the fiber.
Yeah.
I'd rather eat the whole orange. But the little mandarins are perfect for this diet because you can have one after a meal. It's very refreshing. It's a little bit sweet and tart. And it's only 8 grams of carb. I'm looking now. I'm looking out the window, and there is a food delivery truck going down the street. It's a company that used to only supply restaurants and hotels, Baldor, but now they're delivering retail. So they're delivering today. Maybe I should call Baldor and see if I can get a delivery of fruit.
You know, the person driving that truck is swearing.
Yeah, we do. Well, I don't know. Our streets have been plowed already, so we do have bananas. But one banana has as many carbs as I can eat in a whole day. It's like 25 grams of carb in a banana, in a medium banana. So I do avoid bananas. Anyway,
I love bananas.
Back to normal here in that we're stuck in the house with a storm and not stuck in the house with COVID.
Well, at least you're not stuck in a house in West Cornwall.
Well, I don't know. That wasn't so bad either. I had a great view from my house in Cornwall, too. I like looking at snow. I like looking at the ocean. I just don't like being in it. The same with snow.
You know, it's funny. The worst thing I hate about snow, the only thing I hate about snow, is when you, like, especially like this, cleaning off the damn car. I hate it, and shoveling. I just hate it.
Yeah, you don't have an indoor garage?
What?
I guess not.
What?
Well, maybe you should build one. You know, it's worth it. I mean, as you get older, you're going to want to do that less.
I think as I get older, I'm just going to get rid of the car and just take senior citizen transportation.
Well, I don't. I had a nice long conversation with my friend Iris, who does live in Rome, this morning, and we were talking about our aging. And she looked fabulous this morning. We did a Skype call, so I could see her. She really looked great, and I really looked terrific. Because terrible because I still haven't combed my hair or anything. But we, you know, you get older, things start sagging. You know, sleep changes. You know, I used to be a good sleeper. I guess I still am a good sleeper. It's just the hours have changed, and that's why I'm up at 5 in the morning.
See, that's what I like. That's why I like my dogs and cats. They don't care that I'm sagging and I'm getting older. They
yeah,
love
well,
me for who I am.
I have Bob. He doesn't care either. He's sagging as much as I am, you know. He's 3 years older.
Misery.
He got it first.
Misery loves company.
Yeah, well, also, losing weight is not good. You know, I always say, people always say, oh, Arthur, you look so young for your age. I said, it's because I'm fat.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
You know, your cheeks plump out. You look healthy when you're fat and old. Now that I'm losing a lot of weight, I see that I'm sagging a bit, maybe more than a bit. But you know, it's okay. As Iris said this morning, clothes are my best friend.
There you go. If you know how to dress.
And by the way, just to report, so everybody can be envious, it's already beginning to smell, as Iris said, like spring in Italy, in Rome. Uh-huh. And it's true. By the end of February, it's spring in southern Italy. Rome, to me, is the beginning of the South. So people say, oh, Rome is not South. Yes, it is. In attitude, in personality, in food, it's more South than anywhere else. Hmm. Anyway, right. So the snowflakes just got even bigger. They're the size of baseballs.
Yeah, I'm looking at
now.
The radar now. All the precipitation for you is coming in off the water, so it's going to be big. And that precipitation coming off the water is about 35 to, I'll say, 50 minutes away from reaching us. But yeah, you're gonna get pounded from here on in.
Well, it's okay.
That's right.
I have my chicken. I have my celery. Oh, I have two avocados and a jalapeno pepper. So we're going to have guacamole today, too.
All right.
But what do you, the question is, how do you eat guacamole when you're on a carb-free diet? And, oh my God, the emergency.
That's right.
Emergency systems are going crazy here. And the answer is endive.
That's
we're going
right.
to scoop up our guacamole with endive.
Well, I want you to scoop with great joy today.
I am going to.
And I will speak to you next week.
I hope so.
All right. All right.
Everybody have a great week. Stay home. Enjoy. Bye.
Bye. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, this morning here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. You can find him on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven.